Legends 92.9 now brings you Lyrics and Legends with your host, Gary Ware.
The program you're listening to is Lyrics and Legends on 92.9 FM in Shamrock, Texas. I've got in the studio with me, first of all, my good friend Debbie Finsterwald, who has been a guest a time or two with us. We're going to visit with a fellow Okie, Joe Merrick from Sayre, Oklahoma, who's got a new CD out. We're going to get a little bit of the music, the background, the history of the Merrick family, and it's going to be fun, so we're going to enjoy doing this. Debbie, how's everything going with you?
It's going great. I'm happy to be here. Because, you know, I just grew up down the road from Joe over in Eric, so I'm interested to hear and ask a lot of questions about things that went on in his life.
All right. And Joe, we're glad to have you in with us tonight, and I thank you for coming over and taking time to come in and visit with us.
Thank you, Gary. It's great to be here. I'm tickled to get a chance to tell a few people about this new album and make some excuses for all the stuff I put on it and maybe make some sense out of some of it.
Well, you know, we're pretty big music lovers over here, so it's pretty hard for us to get offended. We like it. So
That's good.
We kind of like to get into a little bit of your background. I mean, there's going to be a lot of people that are familiar with the Merrick family, but right. There may be people out there listening that have no idea about your dad, Walter, okay. And yourself.
Sure.
I know. So share a little bit about your dad and your yourself.
Well, Dad and actually Mom, too, both grew up north of Eric and Texola on the Davis Ranch. And, gosh, they married young, as people did back then. And he worked for the Davis Ranch for a number of years. And as he was working there, he started putting together a little band of broodmares and always wanted to ride good horses. And that's really where this all started, is he just liked a good, fast horse. And he started paying attention to bloodlines in those days and putting together the best ones he could find and raised a few good mares and came up with a little horse called Midnight Junior and started crossing one them. And in those days, there wasn't organized racing for quarter horses. That was all match racing down a country road or something outside of town and side bets and all that stuff. And it was a lot of fun
like
to hear
good Okies do,
stories.
Gary, yeah. Just so you yeah. know,
that's
like,
exactly
like good
right.
Okies do.
And as it evolved and it got up into about 1940, the American Quarter Horse Association was formed, and Dad was well positioned and had some horses that were ready to go into that deal. And right from the get-go, he started winning races. And as that, you know, evolved up into the 50s, he leased a horse called Three Bars, a thoroughbred horse, and bred to his quarter horse mares, and that was really the turning point in his business. Those horses just
controversial.
It was, you know, at the time there was as in any case, there's lots of purists that want to keep things just as, you know, as straight as they can, but the quarter horse breed itself had been kind of concentrated, if we don't want to say inbred at that point, and the horses were small and stocky and didn't have much range of motion, and he could tell that in terms of having a faster horse, he needed to get an influx of thoroughbred blood and stretch them out a little bit, give them some lung capacity and some athleticism and get them on down the racetrack and enhance their speed as well. And that's exactly what he was able to do.
Now, when Easy Jet came on the scene, you were 12 years old?
I was 11 early part of the year. Yeah, 12 whenever he won the All-American. And it was a magical year for me. If you remember, we walked on the moon that year. It was a crazy time to be a 12-year-old. And I got to sleep in front of that amazing horse's stall all summer and keep the boogers away. And then you kind of had to pay attention in those days. So
you were the hired security.
I was the security. Me and a big biting dog and a gun I couldn't lift. But I slept in front of that stall every night.
Well, it sounds like your dad trusted you a lot if you were put in charge of watching Easy Jet and taking care of the security of...
He must have. He must have.
Must have valued you, too.
It was a fun way to grow up, you know. We had lots of fun things going on all the time. And
now, by this time, you've moved to Sayre, right?
We were in Crawford, Oklahoma, north of Cheyenne, up there on the South Canadian when I was a little boy. And we moved to Quanah, Texas for about a year. We had three bars and a couple of good horses that needed to be closer to the public, and it was hard for people to find us up there in the bend of the river. And so we lived down there on 287 for a year or so, and then Dad had bought the place at Sayre, and we were in the process of building it while we were in Quanah, and we moved up there in 67.
All
been
right.
there ever since.
And Easy Jet went on to win like 20.
Yeah, he was the three bars horse, produced a mare named Lena's Bar that won lots of races for us. And when it came time to breed her, Dad found well, he didn't find him. He was a world champion horse too, Jet Deck. But he had a strain of Midnight Junior in his pedigree on the bottom side, which was Dad's original foundation sire. So when he bred those two together, got Easy Jet. And the rest
pretty magic,
history.
Huh?
Yeah, it sure was.
All American. Uh-huh.
Yeah, he won
22 out of 26.
Exactly.
Or something
he
like
won
that.
22 of 26 races as a 2-year-old, and I don't know if there's been a 2-year-old run 26 times since. You know, he was just.
It's just not the way they do it anymore.
No, and he was just made of iron and felt so good all the time, and Dad did such a good job with him. He was just so tough and durable and wanted to run, didn't want to stand still, and we needed money to make a land payment, so anytime it was time to go, he got to go, and usually he brought back the check.
So during all that, what got you involved in music? Have you always loved music?
Always did. My mom was real musical. Nobody in my family played any instruments, but there was always music going on,
right.
You know, she and my sister and even Dad. He was, believe it or not, a Fats Domino fan. So, my influences are crazy. They're just all over the map, and it seems like it shows up in these songs I come up with, too. But yeah, when I was a little kid, you know, Mom always had Eddie Arnold on or, you know, a lot of those good old guys that had really good arrangements, and I just really fell in love and didn't know it at the time. But
right.
as I got involved in music, I'd go back to those old songs and hear those neat arrangements and modulations and things that, you know, made melodies interesting and
right.
tried to go back to that. My sister was a little older than me, and she was she had the Bobby V and all that stuff going on. In the,
there you go. Debbie's kind of smiling.
In the early 60s and stuff. Yeah. And in fact, in Raton, New Mexico, where we used to race, a lot of those guys would play at the National Guard Armory out there. And Bobby Vinton and Bobby V and a bunch of those guys would come through there. And she'd have that on the radio all the time. So I got that rockabilly influence
right.
in some of my tunes, too. And as I got to be a little older and kind of learned some music that I appreciated myself. I remember always listening to music, didn't think that much about it, and then I heard James Taylor sing Fire and Rain one day, and I knew I wanted to do that.
Oh, yeah. I'm a big James Taylor fan, too. Hey, I know you got a pretty wide range of music. We want to play a song. Talk a little bit about Tascosa Rose and kind of where that came from,
okay.
and then we'll listen to it,
all
and
right.
then we'll come back
Tascosa
and visit.
Rose, seems like whatever I'm doing, I'm always having to drive a lot, you know, from one ranch to another or from one racetrack to another, and I was driving out across that country one day, and I just got to thinking about all that stuff that went on, and it kind of occurred to me, and this little line came to me about up on the high plains of the Texas Panhandle, and that just kind of evolved from that. And a lot of times that happens to me. I'll start a song not knowing where it's going. And that's probably pretty obvious in the way some of them end up. But I'll start off, and one line will remind me of something else, and one little part of the story, and I'll think, yeah, we could try to get that going, you know. And it just kind of worked itself into this story. And, it's a neat story. I wanted to write a song that sort of gave credit to the Panhandle Cowboys, because they work hard, and they're a different breed of cat than those South Texas guys, and I want to give them credit for that. And we had a ranch south of McLean, and I've known these guys always up around Canadian, and are good friends of mine and stuff, and so it was just a fun song for me to write, and I like to tie it back into history from a few years ago.
That's what I liked about this song. It's got a really cool.
My daughter gives me a hard time about these spooky out there deals that come along in some of my stories. Where does that come from? She said, and I couldn't tell you, but it gives you poetic license to do whatever you want to story. So there you go.
We're going to listen to Tascosa Rose, and we'll be back in a few minutes to visit with Joe Merrick on Lyrics and Legends on 92.9 FM.
Up on the high plains of the Texas Panhandle, where the tumbleweeds roll and the icy wind blows, there's a lady up there the rest of Texas can't handle. The cowboys all know her, she's Tascosa Rose. The door's always open at Rose's Cantina to wash down the trail dust and shake off the cold. She'll serve up menudo and chile rellenos, or maybe something hotter, or so I've been told. She talks of the old days and the buffalo hunters. The cowboys go silent and stare at the fire. She tells about wagons with hides by the hundreds. Back before Texas got tied up with wire. There's old half-top trailers on flatbed feed pickups, a dog on the back and a brand on the side. They spend the whole day with the wheat pasture cattle, doctoring the sick ones that haven't quite died. And if they get time, they all make it by roses to wash down the trail dust and shake off the cold. And they never wonder why she never closes, and they never notice she never gets old. She tells of the time the Comanches about got 'em pinned down in some tavern she called Dobie Walls. She talks about outlaws and some kid named Billy. He said he'd be back for her maybe this fall. Up on the high plains of the Texas Panhandle, where the tumbleweeds roll and the icy wind blows, there's a lady up there the rest of Texas can't handle. The cowboys all know her, she's Tascosa Rose. And everyone knows that there ain't no Tascosa. It died with the buffalo, the last of its kind. So what does that say about sweet Tularosa? Could it be somehow she got left behind? Could it be somehow she's just in our mind? Up on the high plains of the Texas Panhandle, where the tumbleweeds roll and the icy wind blows.
And we're back on Legends 92.9 FM, Lyrics and Legends, visiting with Joe Merrick from Sarah, Oklahoma. I got Debbie Finsterwald. Deb, what do you think so far?
Well, I just am so fascinated by all of the things, you know, in Joe's family and his background and everything, and growing up in Western Oklahoma, and, you know, didn't come very far over to the Texas Panhandle. And Joe, do most of your songs when you write, are you trying to tell a story, like you were talking about the Panhandle Cowboys being a little different breed and all that kind of stuff? When you write, is there usually a message of some kind or a story that you want to purvey to your audience?
Most often, Debbie, I've never mastered the art of turning out two or three songs a week like professional
right.
songwriters do. I can't write unless I have something to say. And you know, if there's a certain thing that is on my mind for a long enough period of time, then I'll find a song about it. Or if there's something that I feel like a story that I feel like people need to know about, then I'll try to tell that story. And usually that's kind of how that happens. There are a few songs that I've done that are just fluff and for fun, and
right.
like the swing sound of a song or something for a dance number or something.
Right.
But for the most part, you know, they're usually a story or a message involved.
And I think too that a lot of times, and one of the things that I think that draws people to your kind of music and to country music a lot of times is it's relatable. It tells a story, but it's about life.
Right, exactly.
And it's about the things that have gone on and the things that maybe per se didn't happen to you, but someone you knew,
sure,
someone you loved,
exactly,
or
right.
something you've watched. And, you know, that's the thing is that's what pulls people in.
Well,
that's how we relate to each other.
And I think that's right. You know, I've not been able to come up with per se commercial songs because I never really have written music from that perspective. And it's just, it has to be honest for me, for one thing. And I can't hardly tell a story that I either wasn't there or didn't know the guy that was.
Right.
And that way, it's easy to be confident in a story if you know the details.
Right.
And
well, that's just like in your song, Horseman. I mean, it almost sounds like it's autobiographical. It's about, you know, your people.
Right.
Your dad, your family, you, how you've lived and how the, like horse blood is in your veins.
It
you
is.
Know?
You know, it's just, and I'm not the only one. There's lots of people like that out there. And I wanted to bring, you know, a little credit to those folks that, because it's a tough way to make a living.
And, tough life.
And it is. And lots of disappointments to go along with those highs that we get every now and then. And it doesn't matter what discipline you're in. It gets right down to it. You're in the horse business because you're more comfortable around a horse than you are people. and that's just pretty much it.
Well, I've known some horsey people in my time. Have you?
Yeah.
the new album or CD. I'm old, you know. Talk about albums,
right.
But these are CDs, and now CDs are.
Just don't say eight track.
Eight track. But the title of the CD is Horseman, and so the title track is also called Horseman. We want to take a minute and listen to that,
okay.
And then come back, and we're going to go back and visit with you a little more about your influences. We got into that a little bit, but kind of want to dig on that point a little bit. We'll listen to Horseman, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Saddle at birth. For better or worse, neither blessing nor curse, just the reason God put me on earth. So here's to the horsemen, to the ones with horse blood in their veins, to the women and men who can claim next of kin, to the ones with the wind in their mane. I see life through the eyes of a horseman. It's a difficult thing to explain. I was taught from a child, if things start to get wild, take a firm, gentle hold of the reins. So live like a horseman, let your actions be honest and true. Know that all that you do, whether you want it to, teaches someone something about you. Country was founded by horsemen, and by horsemen this country will stand. They're the first to step in, they'll ride till they win, if things start to get out of hand. Thank God I'm a horseman, like my father and his before he. And my daughters and sons and their little ones will be horsemen like father and me. And my daughters and sons and their little ones will be horsemen like father and me.
The program's Lyrics and Legends. The song we just listened to is Horseman by Joe Merrick from Sayre, Oklahoma. And we're going to visit with Joe a little bit. I kind of wanted to get back and talk to you a little bit about some of your music influences. I know you talked a little bit about your sister playing some stuff and you guys doing races in Raton, seeing some bands up there. But tell me a little bit about who you kind of listened to early. And
Well, it was, you know, I was a kid in the 60s and a teenager in the 70s, and I didn't really listen to a lot of country music at the time, other than I listened to Merle, you know, when I was in the truck with Dad, and he had a big influence on a lot of my music, you know, in one way or another later on. Roger Miller was a big influence for me, and I didn't realize it as much till I went back and listened to my albums later, and a lot of the songwriting track pathways and phrasings that I do are things that he would have done, and so I've noticed that the eclectic nature of it also is you never knew what was coming out of his mouth.
That was one of the things that I think just made him, we did a show about and talked about Roger and all that, but one of the things that I think made him such a genius that I don't think he knew what was going to come out of his mouth, but he just had this way of saying things and phrasing things, and he just could reach so many people.
And it comes to do with the place we've all grown up in,
right?
The way people talk to each other,
right?
You know?
Yeah, I had a
it's respectful, but it's colorful.
We were going to interview you today, and he said, his dad was kind of from that era when your dad was from, and they, you know, they had land out there, and he said that. A lot of people, when Roger Miller were growing up, kind of made the comments that he wasn't ever going to amount to anything. And I think some people may have said the same thing about your dad.
Yeah,
but then he said after those guys were successful, they were all like, oh, yeah, I knew they were going to amount.
That's true. And it was, you know, I know that, of course, Dad was a cattleman and a cowboy. First of all, I mean, that's what he always was. And if we ever made some money in the horse business, we bought another place with it, you know, good set of cows to put on it or something. And it was, his expertise in the horse business and his way with horses and understanding how to breed fast horses and then to take good care of them and get the most out of them, you know, that's what really propelled him and made him successful. But in the course of that, you know, we bought ranches and all over the country, and we at the time I was a teenager and into my 20s and stuff, we had five or six ranches scattered over two or three states, and you know, we ran 4,500 mother cows, and most people don't know that because they all just think about the racing deal, but we wouldn't go to the track till we branded in the spring. And then we'd go to the track for 3 or 4 months, come back and ship calves in the fall, and that'd take us a month or so, and then we'd break colts in the winter and start over. But it was just as much.
You lived that high luxury life, didn't you?
Yeah, high luxury when you leave about 4 a.m. and come in about 9 p.m. because.
But you know, that's kind of the image that people have about. And I'm not saying that your father became very successful and all that.
Exactly,
But there's a lot of hard work behind
exactly. It. I tell people, and I don't know, we did good for a while. We had a lot of success in the horse business and the cattle business and stuff. But anytime we got a little bit ahead, all we did is buy some more work.
You know?
That was okay because that's what fueled Dad, and that's what he enjoyed and loved, and he taught all of us to love it too.
So you rode around with your sisters and listened to Merle, to Merle.
Merle and Marty
rode
Robbins.
Rode around with your sister and listened to.
See, there's the story. It's Marty Robbins.
Yeah. So you got a pretty wide, wide
has good
range
sense
on.
Of humor because he listened to Roger.
Roger Miller.
Miller
right.
But this next song that we want you to talk a little bit about is called "Back to Oklahoma," which you know that piqued my interest right away. I kind of like the story you told behind it. Tell us how that song came to be.
Well, it's one of the few songs that I've been able to write that are totally abstract. It's just about a fictitious guy that I told this story about. My father-in-law has a place right across 152 south of the prison, which is east of Sayre. And I was on a swather one day cutting hay, and I was watching those guys walk around over there, and I was bored, and I was just thinking about what they might be thinking, and tried to put myself in their position if I had been put in prison several states away. And
where'd you say they came from? Wisconsin?
They were all from Wisconsin.
Whew, that's a far stretch from Oklahoma.
Yeah. And so anyway, I started out with this silly story, and it just got sillier as it went. But it was a bluegrass kind of a feel, and fun to write and fun to sing. And it's a story about a guy that takes the rap for his sweetheart and then finds out the line is he won't survive in captivity. So so he has to escape and remedy the situation.
All right, we're going to listen to Back to Oklahoma, and then we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Been 14 weeks now since I've seen her. 98 nights cold and alone. I won't spend one more night without her. I'm busting out, I'm going home. I've had my fill of all this concrete. These bars are driving me insane. I'm going back to Oklahoma, where my barber knows my name. I ain't supposed to be here, I ain't done nothing wrong. The night she killed her daddy, all I did was drive her home. But I couldn't let her go to jail, so I said it was me. Now I find I won't survive in this captivity. They'll think I'm just a bag of laundry. Before they miss me, I'll be gone. This place will be all in a quandary. And I'll be on my way back home. Time off for strange behavior. This planet's just not geared for me. I've had my fill of all this concrete.
Listen to a song called Back to Oklahoma. We've got Joe Merrick in the studio and Debbie Finsterwald visiting with her fellow Okie over there. And her eyes just light up when we talk about going back to Oklahoma and doing all these things. She's,
well, I want to go.
I saw a little drool coming
out
like of the
edge. I like anything that takes me back to Oklahoma, but I don't want to go to prison over there, you know. But I just think that, you know, you're talking about these were abstract thoughts and that these stories just come to you and all that kind of thing. And I think that's what, you know, somebody that is a storyteller that has those kind of thoughts. Right. You're not wired like everybody else.
Boy,
you know,
that's for sure, Debbie.
You know, a lot of people don't look at guys on the side of the road in prison gear and go, wonder
what,
you know,
they're thinking.
We'll just start making. Let me look at that guy right there. I wonder what, you know. So, you know, you just kind of go off in your own little world and start.
I do.
But is that really? I mean, like the next song that we're going to listen to is High Desert Rain, and you were telling us too that that's kind of an abstract
it
thought
is,
too.
Yeah,
so.
It's basically, you know, I guess one of the things that categorizes my style of music is contemporary Western, so to speak. And the thing about if you're going to write music about a situation or a genre, you got to pay attention to what goes on. I mean, this is about a relationship. A guy's got in trouble in his relationship. Everybody likes to write a love song, but relationships aren't all blue sky and sunshine. And so,
what?
I hate to break that to you, Debbie.
Oh, shattered.
So anyway, this is a story about a guy that steps over the line, and for lack of anything else to do, he's just going to go out west and work on a big ranch till things calm down a little bit. So that's
says the guy that's been married 41 years.
Yeah, 41
says the guy
years.
Been married 41
yeah,
years.
He might know a little bit about it all not being blue sky
and sunshine.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
So we ready to listen to this, Debbie?
Sure, let's
all
listen
right.
to it.
We're going to listen to High Desert Rain. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
They say objects in the mirror are closer than they appear. Maybe that just means it's time to get on out of here. And I tell you that I'm sorry, but you've known that all along. And the last thing that you need from me is some old even song. So I'll roll up my bed, roll my saddle in the back, put my toothbrush and my razor in a Walmart grocery sack, and I'll be down that open highway toward another circumstance till my misery seems trivial against that wide expanse. And I'll spend my days a horseback and my nights beneath the stars, give the open wounds behind me time to shrivel into scars. And though the edge might soften by the years we spend apart, I know there ain't no time or distance that can heal a broken heart. We both know I tried to face the music when I told you that a real man wouldn't run. But all you said to me was I made you sick, and a real man wouldn't do the things I'd done. So maybe I'll just disappear up on some rocky rim, where the line between the earth and sky gets faded, dark and dim. And it'll be like I never happened, never caused you any pain. And I'll be washed out of your memory like a wild high desert rain. They say objects in the mirror are closer than they appear. If that was true, I'd turn around, kiss away your tears. But it'll be like I never happened, never caused you any pain. And I'll be washed out of your memory like a wild high desert rain. Like a wild high desert rain.
Oh. And we're back. The program is Lyrics and Legends. We're having a lot of fun visiting with a local guy from over in Oklahoma, Joe Merrick. And it's fun. Your daughter contacted us and said, hey, we want to send you a CD. And then we heard it. We're like, we got to get this guy to come over
She's
here.
She's a pretty good business manager, I tell you, Carrie. She's not afraid to talk
to
the president
herself.
I got three kids that we got to keep. She was a twin. Her brother, Cash, has gone on to be with the Lord, but we'll see him for long. And he influences a lot of the things we do as well. So she took on the role of spreading enough cheer for both of them, and she's been good at it.
That's great.
All right. Good deal. You know, I was listening to this CD, and I was like, I need to get him to bring his guitar with him. And so I sent him a text, and you were in Oklahoma City, maybe?
Right, yeah, Remington Park, yeah.
Doing some training or whatever, and I got this text back, and he's like, well, I kind of had this little deal with my hand, and my guitar picking's not real strong. Tell me what happened to...
Well, it kind of reminds me of that old joke about what was the guy got his asked the doc if he'd still be able to play the piano, and yeah, it was an old hee-haw joke, wasn't it? And they said, well, I never could before. Well, that's kind of the way my guitar playing was. At least now I have an excuse why I don't play very well. But I was leading a stud on the racetrack one day, and he just turned four, and it was the spring of the year, and he was feeling his oats pretty good and getting a little strong, and I made the mistake of trying to bump him off stride with my pony. I was riding the horse and leading him. We call it ponying. And he got aggressive and tried to bite my horse on the neck, and I happened to have my hand in the way, and he got a good deep bite of my hand. And, boy, a four-year-old stud can bite hard, and you could just hear the bones cracking, and he just started grinding me up and pushing me off the other side of the horse. And I finally, we actually went over into the rail, and it scared him enough he turned loose. Other than that, I guess he'd still have a hold of me, but he turned me loose, but it had already mangled my thumb and my first finger of that left hand pretty bad, and so, shoot, I was about to bleed out, and they had to Metaflight me and everything else. It was a big wreck before it got all done, but good guy there in Tulsa put my thumb back on, and I can, as Debbie said, I can hitchhike both directions now.
that's the part I loved about that story. I mean, it's tragic. It's horrible, and then... You know, then at the end of it, you say, yeah, but I can hitchhike both directions, you know, or if I can't hitchhike anymore, they don't know which way I'm going.
One of the two, anyway.
Well, you might as well laugh about it, you know.
Exactly. It was scary at the time, and there were a lot of funny stories that went along with it.
I believe me,
they came to get Sherry, and we had our fifth wheel up there at the track, and, of course, a good friend of mine went over there to get her and tell her, and by then I was on the stretcher and heading the helicopter and everything. He said he didn't want to scare her. He said, now, Mrs. Merrick, he's going to be all right, but Joe's had kind of an accident, and everybody messes with each other all the time at the track, so she's going, yeah, right, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And she never would believe. And finally he said, well, you got to come with me. He's sure enough been hurt. You need to come and look at him. So anyway, she finally came over there, but she first thought everybody was just pulling her leg.
Well, that, you know, that's one of the things about being a wife of a man, that you're going to be in some danger when you're with yeah, horses and all that stuff.
Right.
So I'm sure that at some point it's almost a protection thing. She's like, yeah, right. There,
exactly.
You know,
right.
I've heard this story before. He'll be fine.
Yeah,
you
that's
know?
Right.
Hey, Debbie, we got another song we want to listen to.
What do we want to listen to?
I think we should do Leaving Chama. What do
all
you
right,
think
tell
about?
Us a little bit about that. Is that another storytelling song?
It is, and it's kind of the same thing. It's about a guy that works on a ranch way up northern part of New Mexico in the winter, breaking colts and calving heifers. And a little sweetheart decided she wanted to go up there with him, and found out when she got there she missed the ocean and her mama. And
oh.
And so that's kind of how the story goes.
Yeah, ocean, snow. I can see that. But, you know, this is what's interesting to me, is that you have all these influences, but you're a storyteller. You know,
yeah,
and so those
yeah,
deep influences, like you mentioned, Marty Robbins and Roger Miller and
right,
stuff, that's the heart and soul of who you are.
I think you're right.
Well, let's listen to Leaving Chama. We'll listen to this, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
I saw you staring at your on your mind, 'cause when that fades beside the ocean. Warm wind laughing through your hair, and you're devoid of all emotion. So you might as well be there. You should have listened to your mama. You should have listened to the sea. 'Cause all this mindless melodrama, it all begins to wear on me. 'Cause I've got cares to pull and coasts to ride, and winter takes no prisoners. Listen to your mama. You should have listened to the sea. And no, I won't be leaving trauma. And yes, it means that much to me. 'Cause I've got cares to pull. Out your window, I think I know what's on your
Well, the program you're listening to is Lyrics and Legends on 92.9 FM in Wheeler County, Texas. Got Debbie Finsterwall in the studio. We're visiting with Joe Merrick from Sayre, Oklahoma, and learning a little bit about his music influence and a little bit about some of the strange and funny things that happen when you're training horses.
When you've been around as long as I have, a lot of things have time to happen to you.
Yeah. That song we just listened to was Leaving Chama. We got one coming up called Turquoise Eyes, and we want to get a little story about this one before we play it.
Okay, Turquoise Eyes is off of New Bad Habits album that we did 10 or so years ago now, and it's just a song that I wrote basically about my wife Sherry. Anybody that knows her knows where those turquoise eyes come from, and it's just a story about how every now and then you need to get back to what made you fall in love with somebody in the first place. And when you get caught up in the day-to-day life of what's going on and all the things that you think are important, you need to remember what started this thing all.
Well, something's there, because what'd you say? You've been married 41 years?
41 years, and I guess we got married when we were 19 or so and had dated since the seventh grade before that. So
that's a real.
It may work. It might work, yeah.
It's they say, oh, it won't last.
It hadn't worked at all. We're just too hard-headed to quit.
Now, something I caught there was it was about 10 years between the second.
It's not like we weren't writing and recording during that time. It's just never took the time to put it all together and put another album out. And you know, the first one I think we did in 97 and the second one in 2000, and kept writing right along through there. Just got real busy and never did take time to put the thing together.
All right, we're gonna listen to Turquoise Eyes, and we'll be back in a minute with more of Joe Merrick.
Sometimes in search of the forest, we're lost in the trees. Sometimes in search of the kingdom, we trip on the keys. Sometimes in search of the answers, we find only lies. Dance me back, darling, to when I fell in love with the girl with the soft turquoise eyes. Time has a way of confusing the simplest truth. One day we look up and can't find the dreams of our youth. We get so caught up in the contest, we can't see the prize. Dance me back, darling, to when I fell in love with the girl with the soft turquoise eyes. Soft turquoise eyes, sun on your head, joy in our hearts, love in the air. Nothing to show, we didn't care. Dance me back there. Life changes people, or maybe it's people that change lives. But sometimes the pain and the anger are all that survives. Then sometimes a glance sparks a flicker of subtle surprise. Dance me back, darling, to when I fell in love with the girl with the soft turquoise eyes. Take me back tenderly, help me remember the girl with the soft turquoise eyes.
All right, listening to Lyrics and Legends. This program is always fun because we try to kind of keep local, and we've really hit a jewel this week with,
yes, we have.
With Joe. I've got Debbie in the studio, Debbie Finsterwald in with me, and so this is really fun, kind of hearing Joe's story and learning.
Well, I just love where that, some of the music that, comes that from. Last song was about his wife, you know, that he's been with for 41 years. That's amazing in itself. But, you know, we're looking at some of your song titles, and The next one that we want to listen to is called Crime and Ranching. Is that like somebody said, what are the two things in this life that don't pay?
Don't pay. That's the catch in that story is crime and ranching doesn't pay. And it was just a kind of a takeoff of that and a tongue-in-cheek look at how tough it is to make a living in the cattle business, and tells a story about a couple of guys that made it, but they had a little help on the side. So anyway, that's just a little attempt at humor.
Well, that is like we said a while ago, you might as well laugh, you can't
exactly,
cry all the time.
That's right. Yeah, the old cattle business is tough, and if you can't have a little fun with it, then you're gonna be miserable.
We're going to listen to Crime and Ranching, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
It just costs too much to live that good old cowboy way. You can rob your bank with a gun or a cow, they'll catch you either way. 'Cause crime and ranching doesn't pay. I know an old boy down the road, he always seems to make her. He keeps his old place overstocked, one pump jack to an acre. Well, crime and ranching doesn't pay. It just costs too much to live that good old cowboy way. Maybe in your granddad's time, but buddy, not today. 'Cause crime and ranching doesn't pay. It just costs too much to live that good old cowboy way. It don't matter what you do, that money gets away. 'Cause crime and ranching doesn't pay. It just costs too much to live that good old cowboy way. You can rob your bank with a gun or a cow, they'll catch you either way. 'Cause crime and ranching doesn't pay. You can rob your bank with a gun or a cow, they'll catch you either way. 'Cause crime and ranching doesn't pay.
In studio with Debbie Finsterwald and Joe Merrick from Sayre, Oklahoma, visiting a little bit about his new CD entitled Horseman. That song was Crime and Ranching. What a cool song.
You know, have you made the connection that there are some really amazing and talented people that come from Western Oklahoma?
I have.
Have
and,
you?
You know, when we started this, I was thinking...
You're not going to have enough people
like,
to talk
I'll
to?
I'll get 4 weeks out of this. And we're on 19, I think.
There are lots and lots of talented people.
And it seems like every time you turn a rock over, then somebody's mm-hmm. like, hey, you need to go right. check this guy right. out. And then Carrie calls us, you know, wanting to send us a CD, sure. and we listen to it, and we're like, here's another one. We got to go.
but multi-talented. I mean, he can do...
Exactly.
He can do so many things, and...
Yeah, we were talking with the... friend of Joe's at church tonight, who you actually played for her husband's funeral, Hill.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and anyway, she said, yeah, he's just good at everything. And Jim and Jim and I were like, well, we're not really good. We do a lot of stuff, but we're really not good at any. Yeah.
It takes a lot of jobs for me to scratch out a living.
Well, tell us about this next song that we're going to listen to, the title being Yolanda.
Yolanda is just a fun song to sing. It was it kind of has a Marty Robbins Mexican type feel to it. And everybody ought to get to have a fantasy about a Mexican girlfriend.
Oh, it's, there you go.
It's fairly harmless as long as you just write a song about it.
Right.
I was telling Debbie on the break that when we play live, I usually do that song, and then we do Turquoise Eyes right quick that we just did about Sherry, my wife, because if you're going to have a Mexican girlfriend, you better sing one right after that about your wife. Try to kind of get
and we know your wife then. Really appreciates
yeah,
that.
I'm sure she does.
Yeah, she appreciates yeah. that very
that,
much.
That smooths everything right
it
back.
It does. It takes care of it. If you get as long as you give equal time, it's all going to work out.
And I guess, you know, it's basically the story similar to, remember the movie Matt Damon did, All the Pretty Horses?
Yes.
And it's about a guy that goes down in Mexico to break horses and falls in love with the rancher's daughter.
Okay.
So
cool.
Basically the same
All right,
thing.
Well, let's listen to Yolanda, and then we'll be back after this.
Dark eyes while all the vaqueros try not to stare. I know your father would kill the first gringo foolish enough to dare to ask for the hand of his daughter, but I love you too much to care. First felt the warmth of your smile. Now I know I'll never be crossing the border unless you're by my side. If I ever go back to Texas, then I'm going back there in style. Oh, Yolanda, I love you so. Prettiest girl in old Mexico. You'll find your way to my arms, I know, for your way down to the river, and soon I will meet you there. We'll cross that old Rio Grande to our own secret rendezvous deep in the cool desert air, and we'll ride out of old Mexico and into the new life we'll share. I
All right, we're man, we've had a good talk, Debbie, with Joe Merrick from Sayre, Oklahoma, visiting with him about his music, and this has really been fun. And we've got a couple more songs we're going to do. I was going to ask Joe if somebody wanted to get a hold of one of his CDs, where to get that, and he kind of said they were all in his garage, I think.
Pretty much it. Just come on by.
Yeah. Oh, Sarah, it's not that far. Just drive on over there, knock on his door.
But I do know you guys have a Facebook page for Merrick Ranch.
Yeah, Carrie, she kind of manages that thing. And then the studio and the guy that produced these albums is Lunacy Records. And I think their website is lunacyrecords.com. Is
that's
that
right.
How it is, Debbie?
That's right. That's what it, that's okay. What it says here. And, of course, we also know that you're on iTunes.
So. Yeah, we're on all those fancy things that everybody could get one but me.
Yeah.
And, I wouldn't know how to.
I think you're going to leave us a handful here.
Yeah,
so
we'll do that.
We'll just make that offer. The first person that says they want to come by here and get one
right.
Can come
sounds
by
good.
And
exactly.
Talk to Kelly and pick one up at our studio at 207 North Main in Shamrock, Texas. How is that for a plug? That happens to me a lot. So tell us a little bit about this next song you got coming up, Joe, Easy Jet.
The story or the song about Easy Jet, you know, we talked about the horse earlier, you know, what an amazing animal he was and what he meant to our family and to this part of the country and to the American Quarter Horse in general. Just changed the breed, actually. Had 2,500 colts and his sons and their sons, and it's just an amazing influence that he's had on the quarter horse breed in general. But the song itself about Easy Jet, I wrote, Mom and Dad were having their 50th wedding anniversary at Heritage Place Sail Company in Oklahoma City, and I was working in Roswell at the time, out where Easy Jet happened to be. I was helping manage that ranch out there where he was standing. I'd been playing a little bit and singing a few songs and written a handful of songs, and my sister Donna told me, you know, come and play a song or two at the get-together that we were having.
Well,
at the
that is free entertainment.
Yeah, exactly.
That, you know, and kept the cost down of that and, 50th party.
So I started back there, and I'd written, I don't remember, maybe Yolanda and another bar song or something. neither one of which would have been good to play for my mom and dad's 50th anniversary. And I let Sherry drive, and I got in the back seat, and I started messing around with some melodies, thinking about a song about Easy Jet. And I thought, well, I'll just kind of tell the story about his 2-year-old year and how that all went. And I remember kind of having the song in my head of Marty Robbins' Big Iron. And so I kind of used that. It's not the same melody, but it kind of has the same feel to it. If you give me a pass on the voice, but. But the story was good, and it told the story about his early races and through that whole year and how it ended up and stuff. So that's where that Easy Jet song came from.
That's great.
Well, let's listen to Easy Jet. We're going to have to come back and wrap this up in a minute.
No!
I kind of hate to go. We're having too much fun.
We are.
Here's Easy Jet with Joe Merrick.
It was 1968 when a quarter racing legend first exploded from the gate. Salisaw was cold as hell about that time of year. Though I was too short to see the hoofbeats I could hear. It was clear he was a champion when his feet first hit the ground, but he made it even clearer with the thunder of each bound. He was first that day by several lengths, in fact he seemed to play, but the folks that saw him knew that they'd seen his crewmate that day. Easy Jet, your races were fast before him. he won race after race. The others ran for second, none could stand his lightning pace. He was faultless in his motion, and he never seemed to cry. And it didn't really matter, he could win on any track. The people came from miles around to see the big horse run, and to see him ride full down the track like a bullet from a gun. Easy Jet, your races were a vision to behold. I'm so glad I had the chance to see you run. And now the torch you lit and lifted high above the crowd is still carried by your daughters and your sons. It's still carried by your daughters and your sons.
Well, the program you're listening to is Lyrics and Legends. We just had a really good time visiting with Joe Merrick, and Debbie's in the studio with us.
I was just saying to Joe that, you know, as a parent, how awesome that must have been for his folks for at their 50th wedding anniversary to hear that he wrote a song about a horse that changed the world, Easy Jet. And, like, truly, this part of the world, I mean, everybody that lived in Western Oklahoma and this part of the world knew about Easy Jet and were just so amazed and proud. So anyway, this next song that we're going to play, we got to wrap this up, really.
It's an hour program.
I know. Well, tell us about this next song.
Well, Gary was asking me what we should finish up with, and if I jumped out of line here, you need to go on with it.
Okay. No, you're good.
When we play live, we usually finish with a song we wrote and did called On My Way Home. And it's just kind of an upbeat, kicking little thing that we do. That one of the seven or eight things that I do to scratch out a living occasionally is drive a truck. And whether it's hauling cattle or horses or salt water. And I've done all of it. So, but this is a story about a bull hauler. And he's finally getting to head home and sees
we know a bull hauler sees or two,
the lights
don't we, Gary?
Sees the lights of hometown. So that's what the story's about, and that the course is On My Way Home. And so when we get ready to quit, that's usually what we play.
All right, we're gonna listen to On My Way Home with Joe Merrick. We'll be back in just a minute.
Just me, or did that dirt get redder at the Oklahoma line? Don't it seem like things look better when you're headed home? I've been speeding ever since I got that letter, said you'd try me one more time. You never could leave well enough alone. And I'm on my get old making love on the telephone. Yeah, I'm on my way home. Don't you worry about it, baby, you're right on my way home. I've been taking and giving and trying to make a living with a bull rack on my back. 25 tons is a heavy old load to drag. If it feels a little weighty, kick it up about 80, it's a rolling heart attack. That's just the way I like it, and I don't mean to brag. But I'm on my way home. A man could get old making love on the telephone. Yeah, I'm on. Baby, you're right on my way home.
caterpillar stroking and the diesel smoke's choking everybody I blow around. 89 feet doing everything the law allows. Got my overdrive winding up ahead, I see them shining, it's the lights of my hometown. There ain't no way to put this flame out now.
Well, Debbie, this was a fun night.
It was a great night.
Just hate for it to end. We're going to have to tell Joe, thanks for coming over, Joe. We really appreciate you taking
time. It's been my pleasure.
Sometimes,
you know, it's fun to talk about these stories and what led to them, to the songs, and maybe kind of explain myself a little bit so somebody that listens to them doesn't think I'm just a total lunatic.
Yeah. So you got three great CDs, and I'll hit again if anybody wants to come by here and get one. We'll just do that first come, first serve, except for the three I'm going to get. And then, and then if they want to find you, I would look for Merrick Ranches and look for Carrie's email address.
Right.
Send her an email. But there's also the LegacyRecords.com.
LunacyRecords.com.
Close. That was really close.
Right. It started with an L. You're right.
Lyrics,
very close.
Legends, Lunacy.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the time that we've shared tonight with Joe has been really my pleasure to have you.
I
over
sure
here
enjoyed it.
And,
glad
visit
to be
with
here.
And,
thanks for having me.
Needs to be a 3-hour program, but
it does because there's a wealth of songs on these CDs and more stories to hear, and it's just been a pleasure to get to.
Thanks, Debbie.
Hear that, and coming from your part of the world, it's just so cool to know. You know, all the stories behind what your life has been like, and it's just a pleasure to be here. Well,
thanks again. It's all a big adventure, and every now and then you got to document some of it. This is, I guess, the way I do it.
All right. Well, thanks again, and we'll be back next week.
This has been another edition of Lyrics and Legends with your host, Gary Ware. Join us next time here on Legends 92.9.